This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is South Carolina Republican Senator Jim DeMint, who joins me now to talk about a very busy week in politics, both here in Washington and beyond. And Senator, it's great to have you with us as always.
Greg, it's great to be back, and there is a lot to talk about.
There certainly is. Well, let's start with an issue that didn't necessarily grab the most headlines this week, but you and I have talked about it before, and you were certainly the point man on this issue, and that's the president's nomination of Errol Southers to be head of the Transportation Security Administration. A couple days ago, he withdrew his name and did not go out without some parting shots, saying basically that politics and extremists and so forth were responsible for him no longer being the nominee. What do you make of his explanation for why this nomination didn't work?
Well, the only politics involved with this was the president using him and our whole TSA security system as a political payback to unions. The Transportation Security Administration is one of the most important frontline defenses for the security of Americans. Over 50,000 security officers at our airports and other transportation centers. And the president promised the unions during his campaign that if he was elected, that he would force this security system into collective bargaining with the unions, which means a third party is making decisions about security. I tried to get Mr. Southers to give a clear statement that he would not break the current prohibition on collective bargaining, and he would not do that. And I just asked that he not be passed unanimous consent, that we have some floor debate. And the Democrats tried to accuse me of holding him up. But the fact was, once we took a closer look at him, there were other things that were problems with this candidate. He withdrew his name because I think he was essentially exposed, as well as the president's agenda, to politicize our security agency.
Senator, of course, the TSA nomination gained even more attention following the attempted terrorist attack on Christmas Day near Detroit. And there were some hearings on that this week on Capitol Hill as well, with some of our top national security officials basically admitting that the communications weren't great, not only in the lead up to this flight itself, but also in whether or not and when to Mirandize the suspect.
A lot of frustration here that this terrorist was taken off of the plane and read his rights and given lawyers rather than the intelligence interrogation system that we had set up to deal with this. We did not use the resources we had available to find out who sent him, where this plot was organized, and were there others like it. And I think we missed a big opportunity here to find out more from this terrorist. So part of the problem, Greg, as you know, is it does seem that we have tried to downplay the threat of terrorism during the last year, that we don't even use the word anymore. There's a lot of talk of engagement, and I think we've let our guard down, and a lot of people in Washington have settled into a pre-9/11 mentality. And I just think it's important as we look at how we handle this terrorist, the whole idea of unionizing and collective bargaining for security. Is security really first? And it has to be. And that's, you know, I was in these hearings this week, and I questioned Secretary Napolitano. I mentioned again that it's hard for me to take seriously the president's commitment to protect Americans if his top priority for airport security is unionization and collective bargaining.
Senator, a very busy political week as well. It's often said that elections have consequences. Rarely does an election that's not presidential have a consequence as large as what we saw this week when Scott Brown scored a major upset win in Massachusetts. Obviously, now if your conference can hold together, the Democrats cannot break filibusters. Talk about how the mood has changed and how the reality has changed on the Hill in just the past couple days.
Well, I think it's starting to settle in on Capitol Hill that all across our country, there is an American awakening going on. I mean, we saw some rumblings of it in Virginia, the governor's race, New Jersey governor's race. But if a Democrat loses in Massachusetts, I mean, that's an extraordinary situation, particularly Ted Kennedy's seat. And Scott Brown ran on a common-sense conservative platform of less spending, less taxes, less government takeovers, a stronger national security. Nothing radical about it, right in the center of where America is. And I think this message was loud and clear from Massachusetts that a Democrat can lose anywhere. But this doesn't necessarily mean that Republicans can win everywhere unless we embrace this movement, this awakening that's going on, and listen to the American people who are saying enough's enough. We don't want to spend more. We don't want to borrow more. We don't want more debt. And we don't want any more government takeovers, particularly of our health care. So I think there's a realignment going on in politics. The Democrat Party seems to be completely dysfunctional in the sense that it is controlled by unions and the trial bar and the MoveOn.org. The Republican Party has to re-earn the trust of the American people. We've got to make a commitment that if Americans give us power again, or at least a balance of power in Washington, that we're going to be true to those principles of limited government and less spending and less debt and turn this country around.
Senator, how do you make that promise and have the folks believe it? Obviously, 2-4 years ago, they didn't and gave the Democrats the majority. So in addition to explaining how you're opposed to the current agenda, which the public apparently doesn't like, what do you tell them about what you will do?
Well, that's a good question, and we need to continue to push those ideas about health care, about how we can make sure that health insurance is available and affordable to every American. We've got a good, clear platform on that. We need to keep talking about it. But we also need to look at the spending and debt issue, and we need to make a commitment as a party that we'll balance the budget, that we're going to have a moratorium on earmarks. I think when we start taking steps like that as a party, America will see that we're making commitments to them that we plan to keep. And we need to be specific. And again, not radical. The whole idea is not to pull the party to the right, but to pull the party back to the mainstream of where America is. And so I hope over the next few months you'll see a very clear plan from the Republicans to how we're going to cut spending. There'll be an amendment on the floor next week that Tom Coburn is going to put up in the Senate that rescinds $120 billion. In other words, cuts that from existing spending. I hope every Republican will vote for it to show that we are committed to cutting spending.
Senator, I know you're very much a pro-life member of the U.S. Senate, and obviously today is a major day of remembrance since it's been 37 years since the Roe v. Wade decision. Hundreds of thousands of folks marching on the Mall today. What are your thoughts on this anniversary?
Well, the country has really moved towards a more pro-life approach to governance. People definitely are against partial birth abortions and late-term abortion. People want parental notifications. You know, more and more people are recognizing that if ultrasound is available to a would-be mother, that she's much more likely to keep her child. And as certainly America is against taxpayers being forced to pay for abortion. So I think we're seeing at least an area for common ground for Americans. Even those that still believe abortion should be legal, more and more people are recognizing that an unborn child is a living human being and deserves respect and rights as an American. It's been extraordinary what the president's tried to do, first of all with an executive order that would fund and promote abortions overseas at our military bases in other countries, and now trying to get taxpayer-funded abortions and a health care plan. I think Americans are seeing the radicalization of the Democrat Party, but I'm seeing America coming back to more of a respect for life and recognizing that 40, 50 million unborn children killed in our country makes absolutely no sense at a time where couples are hungry for adoption, going all over the world trying to find a child. And so I'm hoping America can continue to make progress on some common ground of the respect of life for the unborn child.
Senator, one last question, and you mentioned that you don't believe taxpayers ought to be paying for elective abortions, and obviously that was part of the health care debate. Now with Scott Brown in the fold, some say that the president's version of health care reform is dead. Others say it'll be scaled back. What do you expect?
I don't think either Senate or House version is going to pass at this point. The question now is, can the president scale this thing down and put together some kind of gang of 12 of some Republicans who buy into one or two policies that aren't so bad in return for several policies that are? I'm hoping that the Republican Party will see the American people want us to stop and start over and take a step-by-step approach to improving the system that's already the best in the world. With interstate competition, with small business health plans, with some tort reform, we can make a lot of progress without spending any additional taxpayer money. Those are the things we need to talk about. But I think we have a chance now to stop this government takeover of health care and start over.
Senator, a lot on the plate this week, and I'm sure in the weeks ahead. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
South Carolina Senator Jim DeMint, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.